excited for that. We are
get scared, get worried.
Well, we're the ones who are worried. We have bit off more than we can chew. It will be good. It might kill us.
That's right.
We're putting out a book for this NFL draft. One of the things that most good yearbooks, right? And this is the class of 2025. Yep. Most good yearbooks have are class superlatives. And we figured, hey, no one has ever thought of this idea before. Why don't we go through the class superlatives of the class of 2025? We're going to try to have some fun with it. We'll see if we can. Who knows if fun is still available in this economy. But let's just get into it right from the top. And I think you're going to get where we're coming from with this, folks. 2025 NFL draft class superlatives, most likely to get his GM fired. And Jake, we had some hot competition for this one. But I'm going to go with Kenneth Grant, the defensive tackle from Michigan. Now, I could have gone with Cam Ward. I could have gone with Shedeur Sanders. Jackson Dart is a very viable option if he goes in the top 10. I don't think he will.
He might go in the first round, though. He might go in the first round in like a gross trade-up.
I'm with you on that. I don't feel like Jackson Dart's going to go high enough to where someone's job is going to be on the line. There's just enough mitigation there, at least as I see it, to where somebody's not going to have to completely eat it. Because quarterbacks are the ones that make you keep or lose your job. Somehow John Lynch still has one after drafting Trey Lance. I'm going to go with Kenneth. Barely. I mean, it's holding on. It's holding on for dear life. They're in a cash bind. We're all in a cash bind, but they're in a cash bind. I'm going to go with Kenneth Grant because he is the one player who I just don't get. I don't get it. There's a lot of hype and there's a lot of love for him. And you can see it every now and again to where you're like, oh, okay, that's good. But when you watch the totality of his play, you're like, that could be like a borderline day two, day three pick. And yet in mock drafts, take them for what they're worth, Jake, I see him consistently in the first round.
Yeah.
And sometimes in like the lottery, if you will, the top 15.
Totally. I mean, some people have the 49ers taking him at 11.
Well, that is a guarantee to get John Lynch fired because I just don't see it. He's considered some athletic freak. His athletic testing numbers do not show that at all. His tape doesn't show that at all. He, I think, is a fine motored player, but he's not like revving it up like Mason Graham is, where you're just like, wow, get out of the way. That dude's a dynamo. Again, there are moments where you're like, oh, yeah, he's going to be a pro. But the idea that he's going to be an impactful pro, somebody who can change the tenor of a defensive line, we're talking about a defensive tackle who looks rotational. I don't know how you keep your job as a GM if you take that guy in the top 10, top 15.
I get that. I think, you know, when I see it, you're like, oh, my God. Wow.
Oh,
He could be high. He could be a game wrecker when he gets ahead of steam and he's got a swim move and a swipe where he can get past you and it's. And when he does it, it looks as explosive as anyone in this draft. But so often he's getting washed out in the run game. The amount of times that his back is turned to the play, it worries me. And listen, like, again,
it's called a spin move, Jake. If you knew anything about having a bag, you would know that, but I guess not.
Right. I just don't see him like anchor consistently. I see Mason Graham having to do a lot more work to make that, you know, defensive line work, where he's like looping around and he's like holding two gaps and he's chasing something down from the backside. And listen, Grant could work out and we could be totally wrong.
Totally, 100%.
Because the upside is there, but he's not as good of an athlete as it was said to be, which is kind of the whole thing, right? Like, if you're going to be this incredible, like, top 10 prospect, you need to be just a 10 out of 10 athlete, basically. And then I'll go, okay, if I'm wrong, I see it. But he's like a 7.5 out of 10.
I'm almost thinking that I'm underrating Mason Graham, which I have done consistently. Like, I think he's a top 15 player, but I'm kind of going off of a high floor, right, as opposed to the high ceiling, and just somebody that I can trust is going to be an immediate contributor and possibly a three-down player. But maybe I'm underrating him because he had to play next to Grant, and maybe Grant is getting overrated because he had to play next to Mason Graham,
right?
And it's all very easy for me to say at this juncture, but there's something off there. And if not for that ceiling, we wouldn't be talking about him as someone who can get a GM his job.
He's a big boy, and people like a big boy who shows some burst off the line, but he's not that explosive and he's not that consistent in any part of his game. And I personally, I think Ashton Jeanty could be up there if someone takes him like six overall.
That's a good call.
Because I think Jeanty is going to be good, but the amount of wear and tear on him already, yep. I think it could be a Todd Gurley situation where it's beautiful and then the wheels fall off real quick. Because there's a lot of wear on that dude, and a lot of his game is predicated on bouncing off tackles, and I think he does it incredibly well. But, you know, the NFL's tough. The NFL's real tough, folks. Wears on your body. So if that's your number one thing, you might not have the longest lifespan, and running backs typically don't.
Well, talk to me about your first superlative here, the NFL first-round pick. Most likely to be forgotten in 2 years. It's not going to be Jeanty or Grant, right?
No, it's not. No, it's not. It's our boy Shamar Stewart, our bagless wonder. Folks, he's not good at football.
Oh, come on. Come on, that's heavy. He's got a great bull rush.
Okay, kind of. I mean, he's just maybe not good at football is too harsh, but like, there's no plan.
He's about to get paid millions of dollars to play football. I mean, maybe he's not good at football, but that's an incredible. I mean, what a scheme.
Oh, now you're allergic to the take. All right. All right. You know,
the take is a delicate art, and coming in and saying he's not good at football is something that, you know, might be a stretch, because if I need someone to set an edge as a five technique and only that, Shamar Stewart can do it for me. Can he do anything else? I don't particularly see it.
Can he though? I don't think he's like, I think he can set an edge, but I don't think he's that consistent. I think his technique, his eye discipline, like he's just running in every single time and running blindly at the left tackle. And if it doesn't work, there's no counter. There's no other plan. Nope. It's just, I'm athletic. And if he figures it out, great. Like if he develops like a counter off of the power, if he can do speed to power, but like, I just don't see it with him. And
he's had ample time to figure out any other move. And it's interesting because you watched the Senior Bowl practices and he was just bull rushing, right? And it became kind of a bit. And then you're like, okay, well, you're at the Senior Bowl. Keep it simple. You know, don't show him too much. Everything's, you know, if you got something that's good, just use it again and again and again. Kind of spam it.
Yeah.
And then you watch his game tape and you're like, oh no, that's all he has. He brought everything.
And you talk about setting the edge in the run game. He struggles to disengage in the run game. Like, I'm trying to see it. I want to see it. He's the most frustrating watch because I want to like him. I want to like him, but there's no plan. Like, he tries a little bit to bend around the edge. It's not there. And maybe it just takes him a couple years. But, like, if you're drafting a guy in the first round and someone's going to take him, like, 15th.
No doubt.
Right? Just because he's a 10 out of 10 athlete. But he doesn't know what he's doing out there, and I'm not convinced he ever will.
Not a great football player. Let's leave it at that. Has the potential to be one.
Sure.
Has the athletic traits to be one. We are now at a point where it's like, dude, you either got something or you don't, and it's going to be pretty difficult to find, you know, a flourishing, well-rounded game at the NFL
Listen,
level.
If he just set the edge, ripped off of it, and attacked runners, and that was his foundation, I'd be fine, right?
Still probably forget him in 2 years, to be fair.
That's what I mean. So
yeah, I'm with you on that one. Okay, let me go into mine. This is the seventh round pick, most likely to be an All-Pro, and I'm not going to lie, this is a recent find for your boy, Brandon George, the linebacker out of Pitt. Jake, I love this guy. I can't get enough of him. He is an elite athletic tester. And anytime that you get a number like he got in some of this athletic testing, you got to flip on the tape. And you flip on the tape and you are wowed by the simplicity of the Pitt defensive game plan. They took their best player, which I argue is Brandon George. They lined him up at stack Mike linebacker and they ran him into the A gap
every single play. They said, don't read a goddamn thing.
Nope.
Run as hard as you can in straight at the quarterback every play.
You watch more and more and you see like, oh, on the rare occurrence in which he wasn't asked to blitz the A gap. And by the way, not just standing in the A, like from 5 yards back, just blitzing, just always blitzing. They were all out blitz, NFL blitz, every single
goddamn
play. It's
not hyperbole. It's genuinely like 80% of their plays, they're asking him to sprint head first through the A gap.
And by the way, he's good at it. Like, I get why they're asking him to do that, because he's just blowing dudes up. Center, get out of the way. Running back, you don't stand a chance. He's going out there for the kill. He's got closing speed like a son of a bitch. He is really fun to watch in that regard. The reason that he's going to be a seventh round pick, despite being an athletic marvel and someone who can just run over everybody like the juggernaut, is that they didn't put anything else on tape. This is maybe the better way to phrase this superlative is the George Kittle of defense. George Kittle was, what, he catch 23 balls in college?
Yeah.
You're like, this is a complete malpractice in coaching, and like, leave it to Pitt and Iowa to get all-time elite athletes at positions where athleticism is vital, fully necessary, and for them to turn them into some player from the 50s that, you know, they grabbed off a farm as a preferred walk-on. Like, both of these guys just totally byproducts of coaching malpractice. So Brandon George is going to he has not shown up on any mock drafts at all.
No.
I don't think – I mean, I know that the Chiefs brought him in. Big surprise. They found him. They're so good at this. And
they love a big doofus who's just super strong.
He's not a doofus, though.
I know.
The only thing that you can find on this kid is how
–
I know. But, like, the only thing you can find on him is, like, team captain, all-around scholar. Like, great kid. No problems at all. He plays kind of like a doofus.
That's what I mean. Like, he just – when he runs and he's backpedaling, he's actually not moving that slow. It just looks – like it's like ka-chunk,
it's
a ka-chunk.
It's very
like...
deliberate, yeah. But practice makes perfect. And then you watch some of the movement and you're like, oh, he actually could be really good at this, but he's never practiced. He's never been asked to do this. So, you know, he's like a fish on land when he's asked to go out in coverage. But then you watch it, and I think your note on him was like, man, there's no wasted movement. And he's got crazy explosion.
No.
And yet it still looks different because, again, you know, teaching a toddler how to walk. But you're doing it on like sand or a trampoline.
But you're taking him late, and he's got incredible upside, and it's probably going to take him a sec, but
it might take
him
a year. And when if it hits, oh my God.
In the meantime, you put him on special teams and you tell him to go kill somebody, and you just
I got another special teams guy later on in the show.
Okay.
But I want you to tell me, and this is a special teams angle. Who is the most likely to be a preseason star? And let's be clear, preseason star, we all know what this means. It's the guy that gets a lot of run, a lot of headlines in the preseason.
I would say almost more specific to training camp, because I'm thinking definitely in the preseason, but like especially the fans that show up to training camp and, hey, good for you. I'm not ragging on anyone, but actually I am. It's the people that see literally one play where a guy runs a little fast and they go, this guy is incredible. I'm like,
we're putting out the fifth stringers, and this guy won.
You're watching them warm up. Like, you have seen one practice for 5 minutes. Yep. Like, fair, whatever, that's your observation. But, like, this guy's not doing anything. He's just running a little fast. So, my guy...
How do you really feel about this?
My thing is, there's always some guy who's, like, done nothing all training camp. People are like, dude, why'd we cut him?
Can't believe
it. Because he did nothing. That's why. Yeah. That's why. And my guy.
Well, even be more specific, because they'll play these guys a lot in games now, right? Because the regular guys don't play.
It's like an undrafted free agent, almost always a running back.
So this guy's getting 40 carries in a preseason game, and everyone's like, he's incredible. Why would you cut him? It's like, he's the one that they gave. Right. Apparently, I turned into Seth Rogen there. He's incredible.
That was actually very good. I'm a little concerned. That's the exact point, because he's like getting plenty of run, and it's like, this is all I've seen. Happen.
Who is it?
Marcus Yarns out of Delaware.
Delaware?
Yes.
Delaware Marcus Yarns?
Yes.
Who I thought was named Yams because the R and the N.
Yeah, that's right. He weighs 193 pounds, and he's quick with no horizontal lateral quickness. Quick, just little guy. Yep.
Straight line. Okay, well, that brings me right into my next superlative. Player who will never play in the regular season, and I also have Marcus Yarns.
Funny how that one worked out.
Kind of goes that way. Yeah, Marcus Yarns, lovely. You know, he's going to have some great kick returns in the preseason. And, hey, he might even score one and save everyone from having to watch the ball be placed at the 35-yard line.
Is he the next Darren Sproles?
Oh, Jake, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. I just hope that he goes to a more sane media market than most. I hope he goes to Jacksonville or something to where people don't have to talk about it on a national platform. God help us if he goes to the Cowboys, 49ers, or Bears, or God help us. But Yeah, it's Marcus Yarns. Okay. Let's get into something a little more serious. Who's the pick most likely to say, God damn it, Howie did it again?
People love to say, God damn it, Howie did it again. And it's Walter Nolan. It's Walter Nolan. Because once again, to reference Dieter's, I think, beautifully crafted take that the Eagles are excellent at running PSYOPs.
Specifically, Howie Roseman is incredible at doing PSYOPs.
You heard a lot of rumblings. The teams are crossing Walter Nolan off their board. Eagles aren't. Eagles are like, we will take any and every hyper-athletic defensive tackle you got. And oh no, are there rumblings about his character? Does he maybe have some off-the-field issues? Oh, what a shame if he were to fall to us at the end of the first round.
Undefined off-the-field issues.
It's never specific.
No one could quite say what they are. Just I heard from somebody that, you know.
Not to say that, like, they won't turn out to be legitimate, but it's always like, okay, you're putting this thing out there. What is the thing? Yeah, on it.
He puts pineapple on his pizza. I mean, we can't have that. Can't have that right in this house.
So yeah, it's Walter Nolan, who is probably a top 15 talent and may go in the late first round because of stuff.
Reasons.
And listen, it might be real, but the Eagles, probably not. They'll probably scoop him up.
Also, the Eagles don't really care.
No, they don't.
The two teams that are best at this are the Chiefs and the Eagles. And you go, man, they really do take on a lot of sort of malcontents.
Right.
Are they actually malcontents, or did the Chiefs and Eagles just get you to believe that they're malcontents before they showed up? In the case of the Chiefs, it's actually malcontents. But that's not the point.
Thanks. I just wanted to clarify that. The
Chiefs also do the part where they grab the guys who...
The worst person ever heard of. And they go, why is that guy a free agent? And the Chiefs are like, well, we have whiffed on running backs, so come on down.
Come on down. We don't care. We just don't care. You know why? Because we can cut you too. And we have it is no risk, all reward. We have no ethical standing. We have no moral high ground.
It starts at the top.
We just do not care.
Lovely owner.
The best. Their locker rooms are impeccable. I mean, you read the...
voted like 31st every single year. Cardinals are always last.
The worst part is they keep promising it. You know, they keep promising a new locker room, and then they show up, and it's like, we got you guys towels. That's a literal thing. Okay, here is the weirdest one that we have, I think, by far. Most likely to be Bo Melton. So for those who are not in on the bit, it's not a bit, I love Bo Melton. He's a wide receiver for the Green Bay Packers who catches like 25 balls a year. He does everything for them. He's awesome. He's one of the best run blockers at his position. He is a good pass blocker at his position, which is weird because he's a wide receiver. He is a special teams guy, an ace, if you will. Bo Melton is everything. And at some point, the world will see how great Bo Melton is. In the meantime, he is just the weird, random, nowhere near household player, including in the state of Wisconsin, guy that I, for some reason, love. He is my Juan Uribe. Juan Uribe was my favorite baseball player for a very long time. Bo Melton is my Juan Uribe. Could play short, could play second, could play third. He'll give you 25 home runs a year.
What's utility man.
Well, he's not even a utility man because you can lock him in at the position. He's so good, he doesn't even have to get that stigma put on him. He's just that good. It's not a Kike Hernandez situation where you're like, he's going to bat ninth every day. You can bat him fifth. You can bat him second. I don't want to go on a full Juan Uribe rant. By the way, White Sox still in first place. My Bo Melton, UNLV wide receiver Ricky White. Now, the Bo Melton comp is very difficult because Bo Melton is 5'11", but is a very good blocker. And when you try to find good wide receiver blockers in this class, there's a funny thing that happens. I mean, who could have foreseen this? They're typically larger. They're typically bigger people. And they're not really doing it all that much at the college level to begin with. So there were a lot of guys who were 6'3", 6'4", and 6'5". That's not a Bo Melton. So finding anybody who sort of fit this template proved to be rather tough. I had to go deep into the bag. And there is going to be one point of delineation between Bo Melton and Ricky White. Bo Melton had a superb pro day. His combine testing scores were fantastic despite being small. Ricky White had an absurdly bad pro day. He is the Kenley Platt thumbs down. The icon's giving him a thumbs down. Now, there is some speculation, concern, thought, and maybe this is just copium. that he was injured for it. And that the first, you know, he kind of pulled something after the first 10, because he had an elite first 10, and then it just faded from there. So then
you look at Jarvis Landry's testing, like there are certain players that just had rough testing.
But you watch his film, and it doesn't line up with like really slow, which is what, and really not shifty at all. I mean, he's making guys miss in the open space, left, right, and it's Mountain West competition, so it has to be with a grain of salt. But this guy looks the part of a shifty slot receiver that you can play on the outside because he fights like a sumbitch, and that is just going to be good. The other thing about Ricky White, and the reason that I love Ricky White, 4 punt blocks in his college career. He loves special teams. Right there. He can't get enough of special teams. He wants to be everywhere all the time. That is the Bo Melton template. I don't care where you put me. I want to help my football team. I'm going to do whatever it takes. And if that means that I got to run this cornerback 30 yards off the sideline, I'm going to do it. If that means I got to go out there and block a punt, I'm going to do it. That's the kind of player I want on my team. Ricky White, I think the combine numbers, or I don't know if he was invited to the combine, but his pro day numbers, whatever his, you know, his stats were there, could help him, because I think he's going to find himself on a team on day 3, and that he's going to come in and it is going to prove impossible to cut him. Absolutely impossible. He will not make very much money, but it will prove impossible to cut him. Unlike our next superlative, Jake, tell me, who is most likely to be Javon Kinlaw?
Folks, if you follow the draft even lightly, you're probably going to guess this one. It's Dion Walker.
Jake hates him.
Can't man, he's him. You want to talk about not good at football. I'll give Shamar Stewart credit. He's strong, and he can bull rush at times. Dion Walker, there are times you go, oh my God, this is the greatest player I've ever seen. Why is he? Oh no. Oh dear God. Oh God.
So remind me, Dion Walker is the defensive tackle from Kentucky.
The mammoth man from Kentucky whose pads don't quite fit him because he's so large. Also, a thing about his pads, they're above the heads of every single blocker. He's losing the pad level game by an astounding margin.
He's like 6'5", right?
No, maybe he's 6'5". I thought he's larger than that.
6'7"? All I know is that every time he plays, he appears to be the tallest player on the field.
Yeah,
he might only be 5'11".
He's 6'7", 344. So he's huge. And you go, oh my God, this guy's enormous. And sometimes you're like, oh my God, he's just running someone over blindly. But usually that's because it's college and it's a guy who's not going to the league and he's just going, I have no plan. I'm going to push as hard as I can. And sometimes that means he flattens some people because he's huge. Yeah. Javon Kinlaw sometimes looked really good. He somehow got a deal that's paying him, what, $15 million a year? Craziest contract of the offseason.
Adam Peters is like, it might work out. It might not. But I don't know if this guy's got a plan, because it's like, yeah, we got Deebo Samuel. It's like, okay, well, that's worth a 1-year flyer. We also got Javon Kinlaw. It's like, what? How does that work?
You got rid of Jonathan
Allen for Javon Kinlaw?
It's terrible. It's terrible. And I think Javon Kinlaw is probably better than Dion Walker, which is like,
oh, man.
It doesn't make me feel good to say, but most likely to be Javon Kinlaw, Dion Walker, horrific pad level, no technique. Just pretty easy to stone if you have any sort of sound base.
How early do you think he can go? Because, I mean, Javon Kinlaw went mid-first round.
I would say I could see a team drafting him in the second round. Okay. I think that would be idiotic, but I could see a team doing it. That's as early as I don't see anyone drafting him in the first round. I could see a team going second on him.
There was a lot of buzz about him going into the Senior Bowl, and then that died off significantly upon laying eyes on him. So second round, I mean, yeah, maybe a defensive line coach will be like, I can fix him, which is that's step one in failure.
Also, no explosive, nothing explosive about him. Weak on the bench.
No, he's
terrible vertical. No, he had a 0.79 out of 10-yard split.
Sorry, what? That would be the fastest man ever recorded.
No. So sorry. So on a scale of a 0 to 10 scale, he was less than a 10% percentile. He was in the 8th percentile.
That's
in
bad.
The 10-yard split.
What was the 10-yard split? What was the number? 2?
I believe it was 5 seconds.
On the 10-yard split? No, come on.
Yeah, it took him 15 seconds to get off the line of scrimmage. No, he ran a 1.9 10-yard split and then a 5.34 40-yard dash.
Boy, not putting that big boy to use. That's the Kurtenbach model right there. Taking all that big boy and not putting it to very good use.
No.
Those are our class superlatives. Now, here's the deal. We got a lot more guys that we can talk about, but we should put that in writing form, Jake. We should put that in writing form.
We should.
In the 2025 Dieter and Hutch draft guide, we'll have our top 150s in there. We'll have a little something-something on a lot of players. To be determined how many players, but many, many.
Yeah. Many.
A very good number, probably too many, if we're being honest, for our own sake.
That's right.
But that's coming out here on April 14th. Heaven help us. We'll have comps. We'll have stamps. We'll probably have a coffee stain or two somehow on a digital.
Yeah, digital ideally. Product. Ideally, there will be a stain. Ideally, not on our legacy, though. You know, we're churning. Anyway, subscribe, like, comment if you're feeling it. And, you know, Sickos will get the draft guide on April 14th if we survive. So, you know.
That is a very fair concern. We'll see if it happens. But, yeah, the easiest way to get the draft guide, the most direct way to get the draft guide, become a Sicko. If you're a Sicko now, you're going to get the draft guide. If you're not a Sicko yet, become one, you'll get the draft guide. Other than that, you're going to have to go through a very labyrinthian set of forms, perhaps right. Even physical challenges to get the draft guide.
That's right.
So don't set yourself up for that.
We'll set up our own NFL combine.
That's right.
And whoever scores the highest, you know, gets a free draft guide.
One draft guide.
We
to peruse for 1 hour.
And make sure you got good insurance because ACLs will be torn.
Oh yeah, we're definitely not liable for that. There's going to be, in fact, the draft guide might be as dense as the waiver we're going to make you sign for the combine.
Correct.
By the way, if you want to get in and being a Sicko, that goes towards our fund of buying a Scottish soccer team to take on Jed York's Rangers. Just wanted to remind everyone that that's still a thing that we're doing. The bit died for a couple of weeks. I want to bring it back. So, again, if you become a Sicko, subscribe to the channel, become a Sicko, become a paid supporter, if you will, a patron, if you will. Not a Patreon, a patron.
Yeah.
You not only get the draft guide, but you also get it on the ground floor with Scottish soccer, the FIPA.
Lastly, email us your mock drafts because we're going to make fun of them. So
that's right.
Send them to DieterandJake@gmail.com. Check out, got a post on the page, got the information. Send it, screenshot it, worst, best, doesn't matter what it is, we will roast it. Appreciate you folks.
Make your 49ers mock draft, email it to us, and we're going to mock the draft next week. All right, have a great weekend, everybody.